Time now for the College Basketball Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
You can pay Jim Morris Sr. to yell playoffs at you. What a country.
With SI's Pat Forty.
The Rose Bowl starts at 4 o'clock Eastern instead of 5 o'clock Eastern. When do they want the playoff games to start? 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. It works.
Here's Pat and Dan.
Hey, the brackets are here. Join Yahoo Sports' Tourney Pick'em, $25,000 Best Bracket Contest. Create a bracket for free, get a piece of the action. Sign up at yahoo.com/tourney. Go up against us in particular at the CFE Bracket. Just search for it on the website on yahoo.com, Yahoo Sports. We will also tweet out the link today, so keep an eye out on Twitter. All right, welcome to the pod. As we are taping, some March Madness has happened. Wyoming's out. Texas A&M Corpus Christi is out. Field of 66 at this point.
Corpus Christi is out before we really ever got to the bottom of the, you know, whether they are in the fake army or not.
Yeah, that was on. Yeah, didn't figure that out. Their headquarters, Texas A&M, Buzz Williams, their coach, the A&M coach, gave a 7.5-minute speech after their NIT game on Monday. I listened to like the first 4 minutes and I regret all four of them. I think probably Texas A&M should have been in. I'm not going to get it. But 7.5 minutes. This is like a, and he goes, this will be my last comments on it. I will take no questions. He handed out a packet of research. 7.5 minutes.
Wow. It's considerably longer than the Gettysburg Address.
They're going to send those army guys from A&M to attack, to storm Indianapolis.
Just wait after the games are played this weekend in Indianapolis.
The committee needs security. They're not armed and not dangerous, but they'll lead a midnight cheer outside your hotel room, committee. You won't get a good night's sleep.
The yell leaders will be out there in force.
They'll be rocking back
all
and forth.
All their weird hand signs.
Yes. At the outside the JW Marriott or wherever they stay. They probably stay in a more exclusive Tony place than the Marriott.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that. And I there are a few teams that feel very depressed and burned that they were left out. But if you lose 8 straight games in your conference, including losing to South Carolina and Missouri, you leave yourself open to not making the NCAA tournament. You put yourself on the bubble, things happen.
Yeah, and you put yourself in a spot in your conference storm where you have to win 4 games in a row, so you're totally gassed when you play Tennessee in the final. I thought the committee did fine. I think people are just, we have to complain. And it's coming from me is quite a statement, by the way. We have to complain.
It is.
But again, like the big issue in this field was a 3 or a 2 seed for the Vols and whether a team that lost 8 consecutive games did or didn't not deserve. Let's not.
Yeah, it's honestly, the ginning up outrage machinery that is the day after Selection Sunday had not much grist to go on. So Tom Burnett, chairman from the Southland Conference, who's retiring, led a good committee, I think.
And I'm going to defend the NCAA on more than that. I'm seeing these little stories slip. Colorado State didn't get their itinerary until hours after they thought they should have. What is going on? Indiana's plane got delayed getting out of Dayton last night, Tuesday night, because of an airplane. The plane wasn't big enough, should have been bigger, couldn't handle all the stuff, right? Is everything got to be like a scandal of incompetence of these people?
Right. No, that's
if they're trying. I mean, it can't be easy to do.
No, they're trying to get 68 teams around the country.
You 67. Know? Tennessee booked their own plane.
Okay.
Somebody must have
go
bust.
Vols. Way to use that SEC money.
That's right.
People probably bust. But, yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'm sure some people were able to get on buses and do things like that. You know, that's the thing. It's not all going to be a well-oiled machine. I mean, I'm still amazed they pulled off last year's tournament with 68 teams in one place. You know, I say cut them a little bit of slack on this. I understand. Everybody yes, it's is. Probably a little bit logistically challenging for some teams. That's life in March.
And they're actually lucky that it happened to a men's team, not a woman's team, because they're all, you know, it's like this and that. Every single team, and it's not, I'm not saying the women are complaining more than the men. The men are complaining more than the women, but it's just everyone's complaining. Yeah. And again, if you don't like it, take your own plane. I think one time Kentucky got a hotel in New Jersey. It was like a Newark regional. They didn't like it. They went and got a new hotel.
Yeah, That doesn't surprise.
Like the hotel isn't up to your standards. Fine, go get another hotel. This is the hotel we have. We're NCAA. What do we want to do? Hire more people there and give them more money? They do a hell of a job on these events. And
they do. It's the, never the running of the enough. Championships. I know there were some glaring problems with the women's tournament and the Final Four. I do think they've made good strides in repairing that. But for the most part, my gosh, they do a great job. I am getting ready to attend my 7th NCAA swimming championship. They do a great job in that. I mean, they treat the athletes well. They make everything fine for the spectators. It all works. And they do this for every sport in every level, D2, D3. It's a lot that they do. And I think they do the championships well.
I think a lot of the media complaining and the coaching complaining comes from this like bizarre idea that like these people get into, like, you don't go to work at the NCAA because you want to run crappy tournaments or discriminate against these athletes or not disrespect the athletes. Like, it's not that, like, yeah, Mark Emmert makes a fortune, but the rest of the people, it's just a job. They do this because they love it.
Right.
Like, a little bit. I can't, again, this is the longest defense of the NCAA will ever happen on this podcast. But
yeah, it's time to move on. Come on.
All right. Big update. College Football Inquirer Hero of the Week, Chris Vanini, who's a writer at The Athletic. He scored an interview with Jim Mora, the UConn coach, the new UConn coach. Not
did
Jim Mora. Not, oh, yeah, he did. I'll get to it. Oh. Not the Jim Mora senior who's doing playoffs.
Right.
Not that guy. His son who coached the Falcons and UCLA. By the way, Jim Mora, and there's a very good little Q&A they did. Jim Mora senior is on that Cameo app. You can pay Jim Mora senior to yell playoffs at you. What a country. I don't know how much it costs, but that I know what I want on my birthday.
Yeah,
I'm going to pay $20 and have that guy scream playoffs at my buddy. Like, what a country. Hey, Jimmy, happy birthday. Playoffs. I love it. Anyway, Jim Mora is now the coach at UConn. And if you recall, literally the strangest story we've ever seen, a random tweet in the middle of I don't know what by Jeremy Crabtree, who normally covers basketball for Rivals. Right. And he said, he tweeted out that Najee Harris, the former Alabama tailback and now at the NFL, had told him that Jim Mora Jr. had told Najee he knew who killed Tupac. That was the tweet. This was by far the craziest story. Wait, what? Okay. Najee Harris is saying Jim Mora Jr. told him when he was recruiting him at UCLA, he knew who killed Tupac. As you know, Tupac Shakur killed on the Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. It remains a mystery who killed him. It is an open case with the Las Vegas PD. Immediately, of course, we pounced on this and demanded that Jim Mora call the Vegas cold case this thing. But we were perplexed. How did Jim Mora know?
Not really a guy you would think would have the finger on the pulse of the streets, but...
I yeah, exactly. But the real question is who killed Tupac? We've all been wondering. So, Chris Vanini of The Athletic gets the interview with Jim Mora. Good for him. You deserve the APSE award for something. He's doing a Q&A and it reads like this. Last question here, completely unrelated. When you're a coach, you know this. Okay. A couple months back, someone claimed Najee Harris said when you were recruiting him that you could tell him who killed Tupac. So I got to ask, who did it? And here it is, the mystery revealed. I have no idea where that came from. I certainly never said that.
Oh, come on.
Now, hold on.
All right,
two theories here. We're going to break this down. One,
okay.
Oxum Razor. We said the most obvious explanation for the concept that Jim Mora Jr. knew who killed Tupac was that this was a complete misunderstanding or fabricated story. Because why the hell would Jim Mora
right.
Jr.?
Yes,
so is exactly. it A, that, or is it B? Jim Mora Jr. is now back on the East Coast. And the lead suspects to kill Tupac are East Coast rappers. And he doesn't need anybody from New York slumping up to stores, which is only a few hours away.
That's right.
Snitches get stitches. Or in this case, you're going to get blasted.
Right. Yeah. You get more than stitches. You're going to get got.
Is Jim Mora Jr. actually still covering it up? Or does he not know? And this whole thing was just as bizarre as we thought. Pat, you decide.
Well, He knows. He absolutely knows. And there's no question, yes, that he has rolled back undercover here. Either the heat got to him, or he just knows now that he has relocated right into the kitchen and he can't go there now. So this is purely a move for self-preservation. But Jim Mora knows. And maybe at one of the, like when UConn's losing 31-0 at halftime and they get him for a halftime interview, you pop the question at him, then maybe he'll, in the heat of the moment, he'll say.
He's got to recruit really New York. Did. He's got to like Brooklyn Poly. I mean, there's a lot of good players down there. I think he's doing the right thing. I have no idea where that came from. I certainly never said that.
Yeah.
I think I would have been like, isn't that, I would have added more. Like if someone said, I know who killed Tupac, I'd be like, what are you kidding me? I'd wish.
No, he's covering it up. He's covering it up. He's the assistant coach that gets busted in the NCAA. This thing that's like, no, the head coach, I don't think he knew anything about it. Sure. Nope. Jim Mora taking it to the grave. He's going to try. We'll see if we can get it out of him.
We'll see. To be continued. All right. Here's a story for us. A little more college football. On Tuesday, the United States Senate, which generally can agree on nothing. Like, what are the country's colors? And there would be a debate whether it's really red, white, and blue. They agreed to something unanimously. They unanimously passed a bill to make daylight savings time permanent. No more fall back in the fall, spring forward in the spring. We would spring forward next spring, 2023, and never fall back. Now, there's many debates on this. More light, obviously, in the evening and all of that. But it's going to be dark when you're trying to go to work. Blah. I'm not going to all this. I personally am fine with it. I don't know. That's kind of weird, but it will be very dark in the mornings. But I like after. I get a lot happier when the spring's forward.
Generally speaking, whatever time the government tells me it is, I'm fine with it. If you tell me it's 8 o'clock as opposed to not, all right, you know, that's what it is. Or if you want it to be 9 o'clock all the time, that's fine. Just let me know.
I dared to go in the comments section of one of these stories because I was trying to figure out what's the argument against it, because obviously all the senators agreed.
Yeah.
And they agree on nothing.
Right.
So I was trying to find like maybe someone in there. And one guy was just outraged because basically we should just do standard time, which means it's darker early all year round, because that's how it really is. Like he had this like cosmic purity to him or something.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I can play golf later. Like, yeah, I'm.
Yeah. Do you want God's cosmic purity, or do you want to be able to finish an emergency 9 after work?
Right. Do you want your kids to be able to be at baseball practice, at soccer practice a little earlier? Mm-hmm. All that. And so whatever. However, here is the issue. This has a serious college football issue.
This is phenomenal.
If we never fall back, then the Rose Bowl, which has been holding up college football's playoff because it wants to time the sunset on January 1st over the San Gabriel Mountains just as the third quarter of the game begins. They have been holding the sport up for years.
They've somehow gotten away with impeding progress in the entire sport because of that, because of the timing of the sunset. It's amazing.
What in the world happens if we are an hour forward, and will they move the game? Because we're not falling back.
Right.
Does this bill unwittingly bring us a playoff? On January 1st, it should set at 4:54 p.m. in Pasadena, California. But the sun will now set on January 1st at 5:54.
Yep.
Which is then screws the whole thing up.
Actually, it's perfect. I'll get to that.
So does now Pasadena willing to move its time slot up and no longer start at 2 locally? And are they willing to move the game to 1, which would open up the television windows better, 1 and or 4 Eastern? Like, could this be everything, Pat?
Yes.
This is it. This is our chance.
We have one of the biggest and dumbest impediments to an expanded playoff under control now. And that's it. The Rose Bowl starts at 4 o'clock Eastern instead of 5 o'clock Eastern. When do they want the playoff games to start? 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. It works. It's perfect.
It'll so set at the same time.
Yes. Right. And so, yeah, you start the game at 4 in the window where you want it. The Rose Bowl's happy. The playoff is happy. expand the damn thing. You don't have to worry about moving it around. You still get your stupid sunset over your mountains, and everything's great. And somehow or another, Congress came to the rescue. Unbelievable.
It is a nice sunset. That's not just.
Oh, it's a wonderful sunset.
You called it stupid. You called it stupid. It's a nice sunset.
Yes. All right. It's a lovely sunset. Do you have nice sunsets sometime in Michigan?
Yeah.
I have them sometimes in Kentucky.
They always have.
Make them any that much better in Southern California.
No, sunsets. Yeah. This is it. And then in this next playoff, just give them a playoff game every January 1st at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock East. Just give them a permanent game. Give them special status.
Do it.
It's the Rose Bowl. Just give it to them. Everybody wants to watch the Rose Bowl at this time. Give them a game.
Yeah. And if you want to rotate the other five through the 8 o'clock window, that's fine. But if not, if you want to just kick a couple of them out and say, I'm sorry, Peach Bowl, we're not going to do it with you. Fine. Make it work.
We figured it out. Congress.
Congress accidentally fixed the playoff.
It still has to pass the House of Representatives. I'm going to do a little what was that old Schoolhouse Rock? That's how a bill gets made.
That's right.
Okay. And then it would have to be signed into law by President Biden. There was another comment that said they should make it a half hour and split the difference as a compromise. I'm like, oh my God, no. my head started hurting. Do that.
Let's just say, I'll tell the listenership.
We don't need a play.
Well, we did like five outtakes here while Wetzel was trying to figure out the math on whether the clock is going forward or backwards. So we don't need a half hour movement. Absolutely destroy the pod.
The New York Times comment section on this thing was hysterical because they don't realize how absurd some of them are. And they're sure. Some of them are smart and some of them are dumb, but oh my God. Anyway, I think we have got major development in the playoff situation. We are halfway through Congress. And I don't know how the House of Representatives doesn't vote this in.
If it was 100-0 in the Senate, it'd be pretty hard for them to not.
Nobody mounted a debate against it. I guess somebody's probably going to. There's some other studies.
I'm sure someone will.
You're up later, and over the course of a lifetime, you lose 18 minutes of sleep a night, and you have a heart. I can
you
golf.
You had senators on both sides of the aisle fist pumping. There's no way this sucker is turned down the House.
Right. Mortal enemies in the Senate were standing ovation. Nobody could find anything to complain about here. I'm sure there is a complaint. Maybe the Pasadena people will do it, but they get their thing. Everything's great. This is going to be great.
If Mitch McConnell and Chris Murphy were on the same side of this, then we can absolutely get this through House of Representatives.
Marco Rubio is leading the way.
Yeah.
This is it. We're on our way here. 100-0. Or I don't know if the vote was 100 because sometimes those guys skip out of work, but whatever.
Yeah, right.
Nobody voted. It was a 0. It's like the Alabama defense against them.
Who explained it to Tuberville?
I don't know, but he voted the right way. Who cares?
Okay. Yeah.
He's like me. Yeah. He couldn't figure out the time. I'm not going to make fun of anybody for being too dumb because I'm like, forward? Is it bad? What's going on? I can't. It's more sunlight. I get to play golf later. That's
it.
Would I rather play golf at 6:30 in the morning in the summer? I like late. I'd rather play it late.
When the sports riders aren't 6:30 in the morning golfers for the most part.
I do like playing early, but I also like playing late. This is it. It's exciting. All right, I want to play a game with you, Pat.
Okay.
NCAA basketball tournament. There's a little event going on.
Big deal this week. March Madness.
Yes. So I was listening to my local sports talk radio. Mike Valenti and Rico Beard have a show on Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they brought up an interesting point that this is one of those, the NCAA basketball tournament is the event where you can have a team that isn't your team and you just start rooting for a team. Because unlike anything else, there are teams, the sport is so vast that you have no shared history with some of these teams. You have no trauma. You never play them. You've never played them. You never recruit against them. So you just kind of respect a program or like a team for whatever reason. And you can be like, I'm adopting that team for a month, right?
Sure.
Steph Curry's Davidson team. Everyone is rooting for that team, right?
Loyola, Sister Jean.
Sister Jean, right? Because I really like, and then you year after year, you become a fan. Because
Sully not exactly down with
no, well, maybe I'm trying to hunt down her horcruxes as we speak right now.
So you can be a Texas Tech fan and go, you know what? I just really like how Villanova runs their operation.
Yeah.
And you can be a Villanova fan and be like, man, I love how Texas Tech plays basketball. And maybe you meet one day, but otherwise you get to pick up a team. So I wanted to go through the five easiest to hate and the five hardest to hate.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Five easiest to hate and five hardest to hate in the thing. Should we start with the hate or the less hate?
It's this podcast. We start with hate all the time.
All right.
We default to hate.
I'm going to count them down. Number five, Kansas. They win a ton.
Yep.
They're very sanctimonious about their stadium, but it is awesome.
Oh, they're sanctimonious about many things. They're sanctimonious about their Big 12 championships.
Very sanctimonious. They've beaten everyone at some point. They've taken your recruits. They've come into your town to take your recruits.
Sure.
Being hated is not necessarily a bad thing here, by the way.
They're,
FBI scandal.
Under investigation, haven't lifted a finger to do anything about it other than to sue Jim Gatto.
Right. Number five, Kansas Jayhawks. You fine with that? Maybe you might even move them higher.
They might be underrated at five, but let's see the competition.
Okay. Number four, Kentucky.
Yep.
Okay. Big Blue. They've taken your recruits. They've beaten you through the years. John Calipari is not a warm and cuddly figure. They have tons of fans. Kentucky has tons of fans, and then they have no, like, lukewarm fans. Like, you're either a fan of Kentucky or you do not. It's like Notre Dame.
Yeah. Right.
And then they have a special breed of fans that are Alabama football fans and Kentucky basketball fans.
There you go.
Or Ohio State football and Kentucky basketball. There's plenty of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. The absolute overdog front runner types. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent point.
Yeah. No, Kentucky's way up there. Incredibly obnoxious fan base. I mean, so many of them, obviously wonderful people and great fans, but boy, the percentage who are just flat obnoxious is incredibly high, and John Calipari stokes the fire.
Right. Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, and they play up to it, right? Big Blue Nation. So, again, it's a little bit of sign. Okay, number three. Now, you might be a little surprised this is rated too low. Duke. Everybody loves rooting against Duke. They are completely sanctimonious. They get all the calls. You never hear enough about them. You're watching your team play basketball against another team not named Duke, and you got to listen to Dick Vitale talk about how great Duke is. You got to hear him talk about how great the Duke players are and the Duke coaches are, and you just want them to talk about your point guard.
Yep.
They've beaten everybody. Yep. They recruit nationally, so they stole the best. But at some point or another, Mike Krzyzewski got the number one recruit from every city in America.
Yeah.
Okay, he's come in and taking your players. You're sick of them winning, sick of the whole thing. However, I'm putting them three because it's K's last season, and as obnoxious as it's all been, a lot of hype. But there's a little sentimentality. There's just sentimentality.
That's a fair point. I still think three might be underrated. I will say they didn't invent sanctimony, but they perfected it.
Okay. Have you seen the I really like this commercial, the Corona commercial where they talk about the shades of blue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Snoop Dogg's there. And they start with Devin Booker is representing Kentucky.
Yep.
Just, you know, I thought they probably could have got Anthony Davis or somebody more, but I don't know. Devin Booker is obviously very popular. And then they go to Vince Carter for Carolina. Yep. They're all talking about how their shade of blue is the best. And then they go to Leitner and he's going to win. And then they bring in Sue Bird for UConn women. And she goes, perfect shade of blue, undefeated even. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, no, it's very clever. It's good. And you have to know your college basketball to get it.
Yeah.
I dig it. No, I think it's a great commercial.
Very good commercial. All right. Good commercial. We'll have plenty of bat. We will rip the commercials by Monday. There'll be some dumbass commercial
that lady at the AT&T store. 5,000 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, lady from the AT&T store.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Flow. Okay. That flows the other one.
Oh, Progressive. Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Flow, too. You're on the watch list.
Yeah.
You're on the watch list.
We know the usual suspects. We hope we don't have to round them all up.
Also, but character I cannot get enough of, Tyler from Wendy's, the guy who makes the breakfast sandwiches. Reggie Bush got his autograph. And then Reggie Miller goes, that's right, Tyler. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I like Tyler.
I like Tyler's the March Madness ones too with the mascots. There's one with Smokey in the front seat and the Houston Cougars in the back, and somebody's like, why?
Is that the one where with Grant Hill for Marriott?
I think so. He's talking
about putting them all in the different Marriotts, and he puts the Duke mascot in the presidential suite at the Ritz-Carlton. That was good.
This one is Houston's in the back, the little Cougar, and the Smokey and the Davy Crockett's in the front, and Davy Crockett goes, who brings tuna on a road trip?
See, this is what you get on our podcast. We are breaking down the commercial.
It's because there haven't been enough games
yet. We are ahead of the commercials. We're going to be all over commercials. All right, number two, most hated team in this event. Gonzaga.
Really?
Used to be the easiest to love.
Yeah.
But they've gotten a little bit like Duke. I don't think they're so sanctimonious, but it's the endless. I think there is a, I could be wrong and you can tell me. I think the, there are fans tired of Gonzaga getting all this hype, rolling through the West Coast Conference, not winning a title. Now, they made the finals last year. They've made Final Fours. They have an unbelievable program. But they need a title. They really
they
need the title. And until they win it, it's like I'm sick of hearing about Gonzaga. And everyone else wants to think, well, if they played in our conference, they'd never get this much attention. They'd never be this good. And then they wouldn't attract these recruits and all this stuff.
It's like the Dark Knight line that says you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
There you go. Yep.
There you go. That's it. I would not put them number two. I understand your point. That's too high. They still haven't done enough to really like piss people off, I don't think. But Drew Timmy is like Leitner Light. I mean, he's showy. He is a bit obnoxious.
Fu Manchu is nice, though.
It is nice. Now, we'll see if he's got it shorter. He doesn't have the full Fu right now. We'll see if he's grown it out over the since the West Coast Conference tournament.
All right.
But
it's just a
keep
chew.
An eye on him.
Just Manchu. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. All right. I may be too high. All right. Number one, LSU.
Okay.
Okay. All and right. There's multiple Except, reasons why.
All right. Go ahead. Without Will Wade, I find them.
Well, without it took too long to fire Will Wade. They kept him around for 3 years. A strong ass offer. Totally ridiculous. And B, if you told the fans that are at the game, whoever goes to this game, you can either have a men's basketball program that makes at least the Sweet 16 for the next 10 years, or you have to disband the men's basketball program, but Arch Manning signs. They would disband the program.
100%.
They don't care. They're one of these schools. They represent the school, and there's a whole bunch of them that they care about football, but they happen to be good at basketball sometimes, and they act like they invented the game. And the hardcore college basketball fan is the one that's like Mountain West ball. They want the schools where basketball matters.
Right.
He may not like Villanova, but like it's everything there. And you respect that. You may not like Kentucky and Kansas, right? Or Duke. They're my other four. But you respect that college basketball at Kentucky is awesome. And you would gladly go to a game at Rupp Arena or Allen Fieldhouse or obviously Cameron or whatever they call their place up in Spokane. Like, it's like, okay, this is where basketball matters. I love that. LSU, they don't care. They've just sort of strong-ass offered their way into relevance.
They have. And yes, the fans got on the bandwagon because they like winning, but that doesn't mean they truly care about basketball and doesn't mean they know basketball. So
I don't know if it's number one. How would you re-rank this?
It's almost like LSU fans love to be the heel more than basketball. And I think that's what you're getting at, right? You know, they
it's
relish,
like a harmless
they
relish, heel.
Yeah.
They relish that. If you get the initials STTDB tweeted at you, That's LSU fans being LSU. I'm not going to tell you what it means. If you don't know, you probably already do. And I get it like 26 times a day. So, but I'm okay with LSU number one.
Temporarily number one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're not
this
like
is
a
for
permanent
this tournament.
One.
Yeah,
this,
I get
for
that.
For this tournament, 2022, I'm fine with LSU number one, although they'd be much easier to hate if Will Wade were going to actually be on the sidelines.
I'll give you that. Okay.
Yeah.
We love all the players, by the way. We just don't, you know, just saying.
Yeah. Right. So I got to go Kansas number two. I got to go Kentucky three.
Ahead of Duke? You're too close.
Like you said, no, your point, that's the sentimentality card. Like, you know, and especially
Duke would have been one the last 25 years.
Duke would have been absolutely an unassailable number one. Unassailable. And then I mean, you could put Gonzaga five if you want. I'd probably throw like Auburn in there fifth or something. But you
I think LSU kind of represents that Auburn. Bit
they do. They're kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Good enough. Those are our five. And a lot of these are respect. It's a respect. It's good to be on the list.
If the listeners have a different list, tweet it at us.
If you could be on a list involving college basketball that has Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, and Gonzaga on it, it's pretty good. It's pretty good list. Okay.
Absolutely.
Most impossible to hate teams. These are people who have offended nobody.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Now, there are some obscure teams on here. This is kind of hard. There's actually way more of these than anybody else.
There's way more.
But I'm going to try to do my best. Okay. So, like, I think there's programs that people really respect. I talked about two of them earlier, Villanova and Texas Tech. Like, if you like basketball, like, Texas Tech is just awesome to watch, like, the way they play. Villanova, like, you know, you would fire your coach to get Jay Wright. They've won titles. It's great. Okay. Loyola was that for a while, but I think it's, you know, played out. There's some different ones. So here's my five, and I understand I'm missing them. There's a kind of representative, okay? Number five, Providence. Yep. Who the hell is Providence? Who hates Providence?
You know who hates Providence, actually? The metrics people, the numbers folks, because they rate them way lower.
We hate them.
They got like Ken Pomeroy, like Providence is a number four seed, which means top 16, and Ken Pomeroy has them number 48.
Those are the people that want to fall back 30 minutes.
No respect. Yeah, no respect for those people. Yeah. Providence, okay?
Okay.
They love basketball. They've never really been that good. They try. They play inside an arena run by Dunkin' Donuts. Who doesn't like that? Right? Who doesn't like that? Right? Who's first? Place, They're the Big East team that stayed in the Big East in the Northeast that keeps winning while UConn left and a guy shouldn't have left, and BC and Syracuse, their basketball programs are junk now, are not doing well, and their football programs stink, and Pitt and all the others. It's just Providence. Like, you got to work hard to hate Providence.
I agree. They don't screw around with football.
No, it's got nice players, all that. They once had God Sham God. I mean, you don't like God Sham God? All right, number four.
Billy Donovan and Delray Brooks and Pop Lewis wearing black sneakers before black sneakers were cool in 87.
Creepy mascot, scary mascot, good mascot, the Friar. All right, number four, Murray State.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good one. First off, we talked about it. We like that there's something called Murray State out there in the world. We didn't know Murray was a state. We're not sure what state it's in. It's Kentucky. Also, Ja Morant factor. Most exciting and happy, other than Curry. It's like, I mean, he's easily top three most exciting player in the league.
I'm sure you got a lot of Murray State fans in Memphis this week, too, picking them to go a long way.
Yeah. Ja Morant was so exciting, and we love Ja. The way people became Carolina fans because of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
There are people like, Ja Morant went to Murray State. Must be awesome.
That similar thing, walking into the SoCon tournament in like 2007 and seeing Steph Curry and like, oh, my God, and then going to a Murray State game and seeing Ja Morant. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How is this guy here?
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and he is so exciting. I have a friend who is a huge hockey fan. Hockey, hockey, hockey. Never watches basketball. Says to me the other day, who's this Ja guy? My daughters are talking about Ja. Like, I'm hearing all this Ja. Like, I'm like, all right, he broke through to this guy. Okay, this is good. Literally every day he comes up with some. All right, Ja Morant, Murray State, number four. Number three, least hateable team, UAB. Again, just obscure, not unknown, right? You're not sitting there going, what is Longwood? I mean, I don't hate Longwood because I never heard of it. Right. Or what are these schools? Bryant, never heard of it. UAB, you've heard of it, but who hates them? Like, they're just there.
Yeah.
Got to work really hard to hate UAB.
The only person who hates UAB is like Bear Bryant's son or grandson who was on the board of trustees and got their football program.
Tried to kill their football program. They come back. Right. Andy Kennedy's a ton of fun. He's an alum. He's there. And they've got Jelly Walker.
Yes.
They have a guy named Jelly on their team. He's the star guard. Jelly Walker from Port Washington, New York, is transferred from Seton Hall to Tulane, earned his degree, is now a grad transfer over at UAB, and he's killing it.
And they're a dragon mascot. There should be more dragons.
Remember, they were going to have a real dragon that breathed fire, but the AD... Yeah.
It's the Komodo Dragon.
It's dangerous. You can't hate a team with a guy named Jelly. You don't even have to like peanut butter and jelly. You could prefer jam. Marmalade could be your thing. You have to love a guy named Jelly Walker. And I did some research.
Yeah, okay.
Why is he called, where is the term come from? What they created was the Jelly Family. These guys in New York, a bunch of players in New York. Who played college basketball, even got some women's college basketball. It is a signature move based on Isaiah Thomas's finger roll and Michael Jordan's free throw line dunk.
Really?
Yes, that is it. And you can't, as Jelly says, it's not just a finger roll. You put a little flavor on it. That's the jelly.
Got it.
So you have to soar in from deep, finger roll. You have to fly like Jordan, finger roll like Isaiah Thomas, put a little jelly on it. And that's how you get named Jordan Jelly Walker. And that's how you join the jelly family. You can't hate that. If you hate that, I don't like you.
And you don't like basketball.
You don't like basketball. You got a 20-year-old kid out here throwing props to Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan.
I found the one group of people out there who hate Jelly Walker. Little Tennessee fans. Because he averaged 41 in two games against them and eliminated them from the Conference USA tournament. Okay. Drop 40 on him in the tournament. Drop 42 on him in February. They hate Jelly Walker.
Jelly Walker. All right. There they are. All right. Number two, New Mexico State University. They sent me Pistol Pete whiskey. They have their own whiskey. They sent me a bottle. I broke journalistic protocol and drank the bottle. It was delicious. Buy your Pistol Pete.
The bias involved here is off the charts.
It's nice down there, Las Cruces. It's sunny. It's not, you know, they're barely.
There is one fan base that hates them.
UTEP.
UTEP and Oklahoma State. So too.
New Mexico doesn't like them either. I'm a UTEP fan, and I like New Mexico State.
Oklahoma State fans think they stole their mascot.
Stole Pistol Pete.
Oh, Pistol Pete. So they don't like them.
Oh, they could settle this like a shootout.
Yes.
New Mexico and does New Mexico and Oklahoma touch? I think they do.
I don't know. Maybe out in the panhandle of
little tip
of Oklahoma. Yeah. But yeah, they could have a meet there in a shootout. But that of course is a perfect college sort of thing to get mad about. Your mascot's too much like our mascot.
Well,
we want to be called UAB, not Alabama Birmingham.
Okay, so they could
meet
up.
We want to be called UCF, not Central Florida.
They could meet up on Highway 416. Okay. 412, I'm sorry, somewhere between Felt, Oklahoma and Clayton, New Mexico.
Felt?
They could have a shootout right there.
Okay.
So if they want to do that, if that's what it's got to take, that's what it's got to take. Or maybe I'm overrating
them. Side of the road.
Maybe I'm biased
sagebrush,
with my Pistol Pete whiskey.
Tumbleweeds blowing by.
My Pistol Pete whiskey was delicious.
At the very least, I'd watch a WWE cage match between the two mascots to settle this.
There you go.
We could settle it. I said that Oklahoma State Pistol Pete with the scruff, you know, needs a shave. It's pretty badass.
And the best part about Pistol Pete, Oklahoma State, is that they have, like, the nursing school has a Pistol Pete version.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
saw that. Really?
Yeah, the like, logo. He's got a little schmock on. Like, it's so funny.
All right.
I appreciate that.
All right. Number one, right. Impossible to hate team, Vermont. Nobody hates Vermont. It's
Vermont. If you're in the America East and you've watched Vermont win the thing like 97 times.
There's no fans of America East. It's Vermont. What is Vermont known for? Foliage. You hate leaves on trees that turn pretty?
Maple syrup.
Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah,
like Ben and Jerry's maple. Yeah, again, like what
skiing
is there?
And a lot of good beer.
Good beer, skiing, foliage. Yeah. Great ice cream.
I guess you could be pissed that you don't live there, but
that's about it. How do you hate Vermont? Say, I just can't stand Vermont.
Yeah, that doesn't come out of anybody's mouth.
No, they're up there wearing their like
their toques.
Their toques. I mean, it's Vermont, number one. Can't hate them. Defy you to find someone who's out there just rooting against Vermont. All right, there you go.
Well, the bias with New Mexico State is a bit much to overcome, but. Okay. Otherwise, no, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm going to, let's see. I'll come up with at least one alternative to this New Mexico State where you've been bought like a politician. It's unbelievable.
I don't deny it. I'm disclosing it at least.
I'm going to go, you know what? I've been to Wright State a lot and I like Wright State. I'm going to say, wait, there's no reason to dislike Wright State.
There is
the Raiders. They got a nice coach, Scott Nagy. They have nice players. You know, they've never done anything to offend anyone. They win games every year. They are a basketball school. They don't have football. Been to the tournament twice with Scott Nagy.
Outskirts of Dayton. I mean, again,
right, like,
how do you have a strong feeling about, you know, the city of Dayton?
Right.
Nice enough place.
The Dayton Flyer people don't like Wright State because Wright State wants to play them every year and Dayton won't do it. But those are the only people. So good little brewery in Dayton called Warped Wing. I've been there. I'm down with Wright State. Put them in there.
All right. All right. That is our list of that. All right. Let's get to a couple gambling shots here.
Okay.
Got a few other items, of course. So there's going to be an estimated 3.1 billion bet legally on March Madness. I don't know. A few items from Chris Felica, the Bear over at ESPN. We like a friend. In the 47 first round games, not involving a 1 or 2 seed in the last two NCAA tournaments, 21 were won by the underdog. So 44.7%. Not be afraid to bet the underdog, but don't do it on the 15 and 16s. Last 2 years, there were 13 first round games, the spread of 3 or fewer. This year, there are 10.
Wow.
Not bad. Yeah. In the Alabama game against whoever's playing the play in, we don't have it yet tonight, but you'll have it by the time you hear this. Probably could be the 11th. So, again, committee, good job.
Yep. Yep. A lot of good matchups.
3-2-1. Since 2012, the 12 seed is 24-15-1 against the spread in first round games.
Wow. That is strong.
Since 85, the 11 seed is 73-67-4 against the spread. And the 9 seed is 73-68-3.
Wow.
So the spread, really don't be afraid. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Right. Let's play a little of this. Fade or play.
Okay. All right.
This is what the public is on. South Dakota State +2.5 against Providence. You fade it?
Hammer. Oh, I love it. Hammer South Dakota State. Jackrabbits for miles.
I mean, Providence.
Again, you might find Providence lovable. I find them... This is why they're lovable. It's going to get beat.
They very well could get beat. I would be very scared to bet on Providence. I'll put it that way. Yep. I would not bet Providence. Okay, Indiana +2.5 against St. Mary's. Hoosiers are kind of rolling a little bit.
They are, but I've seen St. Mary's in person. I think they're really good. And I think it's a tough turnaround for Indiana, playing on Tuesday, flying to the West Coast, and playing Thursday. So I'm going to say Gales win and cover.
Iowa -10.5 versus Richmond.
Yeah, 10.5's a lot.
I just feel like that's Richmond got lucky to get in.
They did. There's no doubt about it. But gosh, that's a ton of points. And Iowa's red hot. But as we've seen, sometimes teams that are red hot through a conference tournament don't sustain it. 10.5?
10.5. That's a lot. I'm not betting any
points there. No. If I had to bet that game, I'd take the Spiders and the points.
I don't want double digits in anything but a 1 or 2. Like that's a lot.
Right.
Houston's giving 8.5. They're all over Houston, playing Jelly and the UAB Blazers. I'm not betting against Jelly.
No, I'm not betting against Jelly. 8.5's a lot for, I mean, Houston doesn't score much. They're a better offensive team than they've had sometimes in the past in terms of points.
They're going to lock Jelly down.
They probably will. They'll behead him, But I don't know. I wouldn't touch it. If I had to, I'd probably take Houston.
And then USC -1.5 versus Miami.
Yeah. And I don't love this USC team. And I was looking for somebody to beat them. That entire bottom of that one bracket, I think they all suck. But I think Miami's no good. So I'm taking USC there. I haven't seen anything out of Miami in weeks to suggest they're good.
70% of the public is on Iowa State 4.5 over LSU.
Right. And see, I think everybody's just saying LSU's lost their coach, so they're going to be in disarray. That could be the case, but here's the news flash for you. Iowa State's terrible. I mean, they got into the tournament based on what they did months ago. They opened up, they beat Memphis, they beat Creighton, they beat Iowa, they beat Texas Tech early in the Big 12, they beat Texas early in the Big 12. They've lost their last three games, and in two of those three games, they scored 36 against Oklahoma State and 41 against Texas Tech and lost by 30. So I want no part of Iowa State. I think the committee could have really thrown LSU under the bus and said, we don't even like the fact that you're in the tournament. We think you should be punished or whatever, but they gave them a pretty easy first-round opponent.
76% of the public is on Memphis giving 1.5 to Boise State. I love this Memphis talent, Durand. And I did see a photo of Amani Bates at an open practice. I don't know how he's going to
play. Yeah, no, I mean, he's around the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not playing.
I like Memphis. I picked them earlier. I know you're more of a Boise State fan.
Yeah, I just think that I think Boise can frustrate them. Pure talent, Memphis. But I think Boise frustrates them, gets it slower, makes them execute. And that's a team that throws the ball around a lot. Memphis is last in the nation in percentage of possessions that end in the opponent stealing the ball. So I think Boise State's going to take the ball from them a lot.
76% of the public is on Akron plus 15 against UCLA.
Why? What's the allure there? Other than the fact that UCLA doesn't beat anybody by 15, I mean, maybe that's it. Like they play a lot of close games. UCLA is the king of win by 10.
That might be it. John Gross, good coach at Akron, because they got in part because of the scandal of the video. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Updated future odds. Gonzaga's plus 300 to win it. Arizona's plus 600. Kentucky, 800. Kansas, 900. Baylor, 1,200. Duke, 1,400. Auburn, 1,400. Villanova, 18. Purdue, 18. Tennessee, 18. UCLA, 2,200. Where do you see some value in that?
Purdue and UCLA jump to mind. And I think they're in the same region. And I think that's with Baylor, and Baylor's, I think, a susceptible one. I mean, they're not bad by any stretch. And it tells you how good Scott Drew is, because there's not many defending national champions that actually get number one seeds again the next year. But he did it. I mean, they are incredible in terms of program consistency. But I think that they are susceptible here. And I think I like Purdue to at least have a chance. I like UCLA to have a chance. I think those two will play each other in the regional final. I don't know whether either of them can win it all, but at those odds, I'd throw a shekel in.
I like UCLA and Kentucky on that. I love that Scott Drew's kind of rewritten the narrative about him. It was all like, he's not that good of a coach. He's had all these players.
Oh, gosh,
like, yeah. Where are all these pro players he had?
Right.
Right? Like, yeah. Where are all these pro players? And you can be a great coach with relentless positivity.
That's where he broke the mold there. He
broke the mold. It doesn't have to be, and I'm not saying this is necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't have to be the Bob Knight, the old school, right? The Henry Iba, right. You don't have to stomp and scream and yell at your players and almost blow a gasket every time they do something. You can lift them up. And that's his style. And you end up, over the years, you attract a certain type of player and people around the program, and he's just relentlessly positive and happy.
Yeah. No, that's who he is. I mean, he's being his true self on the sideline.
I've known him since he was around him. Valparaiso assistant coach. I mean, he's never changes. And it's great. And you know, you go, well, can you really win that way? Yeah, you can. You don't have to be a total just a crazed guy. You can be, but there's a different path to winning this. And it maybe not maybe one way is not better than the other. I don't know. But this is his way. And I love that, like, now it's like, Baylor's good. They're a good coach. Like, I love that he rewrote that. Good for him.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And that's his last 3 years, 26-4, 28-2, 26-6. Ridiculous. In a very tough conference.
Oh, he's just a recruiter.
Yeah.
We've seen so many programs run a million pros through. Like, where are all these guys?
Yeah.
He's had some good players, believe me. He gets good recruits. He's a good coach. He built an unbelievable program there. But I do love that. Good job by Scott Drew. Yeah, pretty good. All right. We'll see. Some of these will already be kind of wiped out by the time we get to it. Two other quick items. We mentioned the other day, Bruce Weber on the way out the door, took a shot at Bill Self. You know, I started growing my hair until something happened with the FBI and nothing happened.
Yeah, wasn't going to get a haircut until the shoes dropped from the FBI scandal.
So it was interesting, really good column by Sam McDowell in the Kansas City Star at the Big 12 tournament. They had the questions went to Jamie Dixon, Bob Huggins, and Chris Beard, what Bruce Weber said, and Bill Self. And the other three just immediately said, here's Dixon. He did an unbelievable job at K-State. He had a great career, and did it the right way. Huggins, he's always been a hardworking guy, good guy, had a great, great career. Some of us aren't blessed to have walked in many programs, blah, blah, blah. Beard, he's a Hall of Famer in my mind. You go back when he plays, a coach's coach. They're all praising him, right? Self just says, I heard him. And then says, I think it's the time of year. Everybody in our profession feels a little bit of pressure. Stress sometimes can be emotional. I know I go through phases as well. So three guys who didn't feel like they were getting blamed, praise them.
Yeah.
Right. A hit dog will bark.
Correct. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Very perceptive column by Sam McDowell. Good job.
Yes, absolutely. And they, I mean, look, that history goes back to Bruce Weber succeeding Bill Self at Illinois. And not being able to recruit Chicago quite as well as Bill Self did. However, Bill Self may have done that, you know, eventually getting fired at Illinois and then going to Kansas State and having to compete against Bill Self at Kansas. So Bruce Weber spent a lot of his career in the shadow of Bill Self.
All right. Here's a story out of Tennessee. Sorry, Sully. And sorry to those involved, but we're still going to discuss it in an entry. A loose camel. I don't know why we have to bring up its, its promiscuity. How do you say that word? What do you say?
We're talking about
loose. How do they know it's loose? I mean, maybe pejorative term there. I don't think that was really nice. What does that have to do with anything? A loose camel? We're not going to shame anybody here at the podcast. A loose camel reportedly killed two people Thursday afternoon in Obion County, Tennessee. According to the sheriff, deputy responded to a call of a loose camel attacking people near Shirley Farms. This was a petting zoo. The sheriff said the camel then, when the police arrived, attacked the sheriff officer vehicle and then moved to the deputies. The deputies had to put the guy down. The local park said it wasn't a pet that you petted. It was supposed to be in a breeding area. And somehow the camel got out and attacked. I don't know if this is that a camel from the cigarette ads.
Joe Cool.
Yeah. Joe Cool. Should we be concerned about the camels?
That camel killed a lot of people too, frankly.
That camel really did kill many more people than this.
Yes.
Joe Cool. Should we be concerned, Pat?
I mean, we are the premier camel podcast because we're the ones that brought to light the Botox for the camels in the beauty contests in the Middle East.
There you go.
You know, I mean, people, when they want their camel news, they come to us. So it's our responsibility to handle this. I do, obviously, you know, it's tragic that there were people that lost their lives. But like, how does a camel become a killer? Like, does it stomp on people? Does it bite them? They don't seem capable of being lethal.
Bad upbringing. It's like a broken home. Broken home. Okay.
This camel may well have come from a broken home if it's been relocated to frickin' Tennessee. I mean, if it came from Dubai and all of a sudden it's in Tennessee, there might be some trauma, some childhood trauma involved here.
It is a loose camel because it's part of the breeding process. Its literal job is to be loose. Why are they breeding camels in Tennessee, Sully? Why are they breeding camels in Tennessee?
I don't know. I'm a big camel guy.
Yeah, right.
Love the mascot. It's a wonderful animal, but I don't know if we should be having them in petting zoos, and this is why. You know, they're a wild beast, and not to be petted.
Yeah. Camel's gonna camel.
Camel's gonna camel. So, yeah, if unless we're going to import some people who are expert camel herders, maybe we should not have camels in Tennessee or elsewhere.
The guy's like, I can't understand how it got loose. Like, really? Like, I'm thinking that this is not the best operation in Obion County, Tennessee. Like, you got a long history of knowing a camel's act.
Where is Obion?
100 miles from Memphis, which is...
Okay.
If you've ever been 100 miles from Memphis, man, I've been there. It sucks.
Yeah.
In all directions. Yeah. You could draw a 100-mile radius around Texas, to Memphis, and none of it's good.
No.
Keep driving.
Does Jonesboro fall in there? I don't know.
Well, I think it's closer. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying that's good if it does, but...
Then I tweeted this out the other day. The Daily Mail Online, you know, one of my favorites, had this headline. An asteroid hit Earth, a small asteroid. Well, I'll tell you how big the asteroid is. Asteroid half the size of a giraffe. Strikes
really?
Earth off coast of Iceland. Yes. Half the size of a giraffe is now somehow a unit of measurement. We're measuring asteroids by the giraffe.
The scary part about this one is they only found it 2 hours before contact.
Oh, so it's a good thing it hit the water.
Is that because the half a giraffe is not that big? Is it the top half, the bottom half? It's very skinny. What, like the skinny neck part?
Again, this is your Daily Mail at work.
I love the Daily Mail, but when did a giraffe become a unit of measurement for asteroids of all things?
I mean, a half a giraffe is like, is it
I've
about
seen
the
a
same size as like a Prius or something? I don't know.
It's a terrible measurement because it's very bulky in parts. It's very skinny legs.
Long,
then it's got this big barrel body. Then it's got this long neck and a skinny little head. Like, what? This is terrible shape.
Male giraffes can weigh up to male giraffes can weigh up to 4,200 pounds. So we're talking about a 2,000 pound rock flying to Earth.
If you said half of a bull or half of a bison, right? I'd be like, okay, I get it. You cut the thing. Yeah. Like, how do you cut this in half? You'd have to cut it like straight down the middle, like perpendicular. Just have it fall.
My friend Jimmy Egan on a seventh grade field trip to the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado Springs punched a giraffe in the neck and got in trouble. True story. We still bring it up every time we see Jimmy.
Yeah. What? Giraffe
was looking
at me.
We ask Jimmy that every time we see him.
Giraffe was giving him attitude.
He knew. I think it was the other way around. He was giving the giraffe attitude.
Maybe he knew. Well, I guess it was the camel that killed him. Maybe he just was like, we need him on the front of the animal wars.
We do.
He just punched him in the neck.
I looked up. Gunshot, Mississippi is 113 miles from Memphis, so it is. It is our 100 mile radius.
This is turning into like the Bermuda Triangle of weird animal things.
Yes, it is. We got kangaroos and camels on the loose in the Memphis radius.
Wow, heads up. All right, that's it. Enjoy the games. We'll be back on Monday. Alert us to your least and most favorite commercials. That'll drive us. You're the star, Tyler. Take that. Take that breakfast baconator. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Enjoy the madness.